Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's talk baseball with Chris Swick of Yahoo, Big League Stew. Chris, good to have you back on the bench.
Oh, great to talk to you again.
Hey, man, so you wrote a piece on the Royals. I was talking about them last night on the show that, you know, we were talking about deadline, what do teams need, what do they have to do, and I was thinking to myself, and I said this, that, like, this team's got so many guys that know how to get it done. They've done it before. They've won it. They've been there twice. They, you know, this is like the last hurrah, I think, for this team. And your article says that as well. Like, they should just go for it here. What do you think they should do, if anything? Because I kind of like this team, the way they're playing over the last month and a half.
Yeah, I feel like they should be buyers. And I guess I should say, I'm a little biased in these situations, mainly because I think most teams should be buying if they're only a few games out, just because since the second wild card's been added, that's kind of thrown an interesting wrinkle in it. We've seen teams make up these small deficits that maybe haven't happened in the past. So with the Royals, you know, they're not going to be able to do anything major. They don't have a great farm system, and that's part of the reason I think they might as well buy, because we know that it's going to take them a long time to get a full rebuild in. And we've seen what rental players, and they have a lot of rental guys who could maybe bring back some guys, but we've seen what that brings with the J.D. Martinez trade, and it's not a lot of talent. So I almost feel like, you know what, make one more run with this core intact and really start the rebuild a few months from now, because I just don't know that you're going to be able to really kickstart anything if you trade Eric Hosmer or Lorenzo Cain or Mike Moustakas today.
So you're originally they were hot. Now they're not. They've won just 3-10. So they've kind of slipped back to reality. You also wrote about that they're really not that good. Offense ranks 27th in runs scored. Their starting pitcher's 14th in ERA. Relievers 15th. They've been outscored by 40 runs. So which team is it? Are they good or are they bad?
I think you look at that evidence and you say they're bad and they're fortunate to be where they are. And then I guess I also look at it and say, yeah, but they've been bad and they're two games out. So you think, man, if they could just get one or two pieces, and they don't even have to be great. They just have to be, you know, guys who they can depend on down the stretch. I feel like they can still put themselves in it. And I would also say, you know, look at the teams around them. The Rays have legitimately a good team. It's hard for me to trust them because I think a lot of the guys that are producing well for them, especially offensively, are doing it for the first time in their career. And I'm thinking, Logan Morrison, Corey Dickerson. We don't know how they're going to hold up. The Yankees, we saw them buy. The rotation's a big problem for them. And then there's like, you can name three or four other teams right in there with the Royals, and all of them just have obvious flaws. And I can't say that, you know, the Mariners or the Rangers are significantly better than the Royals, so it just kind of makes sense to me for them to give it a shot.
Chris Swick with us from Yahoo. Do you think last night I talked about that when the Yankees finally come home, they're out in the Northwest for the weekend, they come home and then they play, like, they got Tampa in, and I said that because they haven't won a series, the Yankees, it's just been the last 10 series has been all losses, and they haven't been this bad, frankly, since 1991, when I think it was 11 series in the last month of the season back in 91. So I said last night, I'm like, look, Tampa could come in here to the Bronx and destroy their season and literally finish them off, because Tampa's been playing great baseball. No one talks about them. No one respects them. They've been, you know, in my view, kicking everybody's ass lately. They're 6 games over .500. They've been winning a lot. I watched them play, you know, Anaheim and everybody. This is a good baseball team. Do you think that they could, A, destroy the Yankees, and, B, catch the Red Sox because they're only 2.5 out? Is that Boston's problem, Tampa, not the Yankees?
At this point, I feel like we have to believe it, because when I was writing this Royals thing, I was trying to look at Tampa Bay and say, what's the flaw? And the only thing I could come up with was some of these guys are hitting too well, which admittedly is not great. It's not great evidence on my part. I mean, the pitching has been fine. The offense has been really great. It's tough to look at them and find a major weakness. So, yeah, I think they're a big threat. And I feel like, you know, the Yankees, in my mind, they shouldn't have been in contention this season or this early. So it's been a surprise. We're starting to see maybe some of that come back to earth. And I think we all know that the future is still really strong. They still have a good farm system, a lot of prospects. I would hate to see them give up a ton to make a huge push here. I know that they'll still probably buy and they'll still probably be looking for rotation depth. But you still want to hold on to some of those elite prospects. So I kind of see it as, you know, if they lose a couple games, I don't think it's going to compel them to make the blockbuster move. I think they'll be content going out, getting just kind of an average pickup and hoping that they can go on a run here. I don't know how fans are going to react to that, but I think you don't want to break up that future.
Do you think, Chris Wick, what is from Yahoo, do you think the Brewers are melting? And I talked today, I was on in Milwaukee, and I was talking about how their errors and their strikeouts is catching up with them. You just can't play that kind of defense late in the season when they get to August and September and expect to be a playoff team. Do you think they're losing their grip? And do you believe the talk about them having interest in Justin Verlander, and do they have the capability to pull it off? They have a payroll at $61 million. It's the second lowest in baseball.
Yeah, that concerns me quite a bit there. I don't know. They certainly have enough prospects to make it interesting. They've made a lot of trades over the last few seasons. The money thing concerns me, and you would think that they would need the Tigers to eat a lot of that salary. And the problem with that is they'd have to give up better prospects. So that's a little worrisome. And I also feel like they're in a similar position to the Yankees, where no one expected them to contribute this early in the contention cycle. So I don't think you want to pick up a lot of the young guys on their way for a guy like Verlander. You know, I don't feel like their performance thus far has been a fluke. I think they'll certainly give the Cubs a run for their money, but I think we're finally seeing the Cubs that we all expected to see, and they're far and away the best team in the Central, in my mind. But I do think this Brewers thing is not a total fluke, and I think they'll push them down the second half of the season.
So do you think the Cubs will eventually, now that they've won six in a row, run away with it?
Wow. I don't know if I want to say run away with it. I mean, I feel like the Brewers could keep it within, you know, four games or so. So, no, I guess that wouldn't be a runaway. I think they can make it interesting in September still.
So let me ask you about some of these other teams and pitchers that everybody keeps talking about. We've heard about Sonny Gray so much, I want to jump off a building. I mean, who is the Astros? Are they legitimate? The Yankees? Who's going to get Sonny Gray?
I think you have to take a hard look at the Astros, and that seems like the obvious choice because we've heard some rumors, but they've been rumored to be in on a lot of pitchers for a couple months now. They were supposed to be big on Jose Quintana, who we already saw traded, and they also have the prospects to get it done. They have some really promising pitchers. I think Francis Martes came up recently. David Paulino is a guy who has also come up. They have enough pieces to make a deal, and Oakland's going to ask for a lot because Gray lately has kind of regained some of his value. He's pitched really well, and he's still young-ish and controllable. And we saw the big haul that the White Sox got for Quintana. I think Oakland is going to demand about the same. Houston's one of the few teams that can meet that need.
Do you think it's Darvish or Hamels? Because I think it's more Darvish with his status as a free agent, that Texas would trade him and get a pretty big haul for him, wouldn't they?
I certainly think he's more likely to go for exactly the reason you said. He's going to be a free agent. I guess I don't have a great sense for what type of haul a rental pitcher would take. We saw the haul for J.D. Martinez was not all that great. Scouts have kind of lambasted Detroit for that deal, so I don't know if it would be much better for pitching. I suppose it would probably make a bigger difference down the stretch, and I could see a team parting with maybe a top 50 prospect for Darvish, maybe even higher. But that would be interesting to me because we haven't seen a rental pitcher go yet.
So, Chris Swigwood is from Yahoo. Would you deal Smarja, Cueto, or both if you're San Francisco with as bad as they've been? And do you really believe that Panda's going back there?
Well, it looks like Panda's going back there. No one's going to take him off waivers, and all the deals sounded like he would go back to the Giants if that were the case. So I think he's going back there. Pitching wise, Samardzija, I feel like is a clear. If you can get rid of him, I feel like that's a good deal for them. The peripherals have been great for him, but it just doesn't match the ERA and. I'm not entirely sure what to make of that. I mean, you can make the case that he'd improve with another team. You can make the case that this is who he is. But at his current deal, I feel like getting out of that contract would be a good idea. I guess the same goes with Cueto, but I see it as a more difficult sell. He's owed significantly more, and he's not pitching well, and he's not going to opt out. He has that opt out, and he's not going to get more money. So whoever's getting him is stuck with the full length of that deal. So I think that's a harder sell.
So the Yankees obviously strengthened their bullpen. They get Frazier. They moved the rally killer Headley over to first. Now they're talking about Sonny Gray. But the question I have for you is, I don't know, did you see the piece in the Ringer about Aaron Judge? Has he become the worst player in baseball? With the way he's slumping out of the break, a lot of people are freaking out in New York over his, little skid here, which is, whatever it is, 25 at-bats or something like that with, almost zero productivity. So which is it? Do you believe, because, a week ago, he was the face of baseball, and, you win the home run derby, and now you're a god, and people are talking about him passing, literally, I heard this, passing Trout and Harper as the face of baseball because people freak out and overreact to everything, especially in New York. Which is it? Do you believe he's a great baseball player or do you believe that he's not?
I think he's on par with Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, I really think that's exactly the type of guy he is. And it's not a surprise to me that he's struggled in this stretch here because anyone who's watched him knows he's a high strikeout guy, and that's going to catch up to you at some point. I'm an advanced stat guy, so I like to look at those numbers, but his batting average on balls in play was almost historically high. It's over 400, and that's Babe Ruth, I think, has the highest, and it was 411. So historically, you could say lucky, you could say he's been locked in. It's not something you'd expect to keep up, and I think we're seeing a little bit of that now. And what we know about Stanton is, the strikeouts limit his average. He's in a great season. He's a 270, 275-ish hitter, but he walks enough and he hits for enough power to make him an elite player if he can stay healthy. So I feel like that's more Judge's actual talent level. Is he a consistent 300 hitter? Probably not. But can he still be valuable if he's hitting 270? Of course he can. And so I feel like he may not go that far after the start he's had, but that's more the guy I see him as going forward.
So tell me, have you heard these stories about Canely being a horrible teammate? The reliever with 60 strikeouts in 30 innings. Have you heard these stories?
The only thing I've seen is the strange LaTroy Hawkins comments about it.
Right.
And I don't know that. I think Canely kind of brushed those off, so I'm not entirely sure what to make of those.
All right. Lastly, I got 30 seconds. Do you think that trade will work for them or not?
I do, yeah. Canely is underrated as a pitcher. Strikeout rate was way up. Robertson's still got something left in the tank. Frazier is, whatever, but he's an upgrade for them because they've had nothing at third base all season.
I agree with that. He's whatever. That's what I think. Chris Swick, great stuff. Always a pleasure to have you back on the bench, brother. Nice full 9 innings of baseball talk. We got it all in. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio. Keep having a great summer.
Oh, you too. Love talking to you. Anytime.
All right, Chris Swick, a Yahoo Big League Stew on a bench.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.